From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages from the ministry of Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns will continue his recently begun series of studies in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon from his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Possess, Not Only Profess. The text is Matthew chapter 13 and verse 12, For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. When the Lord has given to a man much grace, he will give him more. A little faith is a nest egg. More faith will come to it. But then it must not be seeming faith, but real and true. What a necessity is laid upon us to make sure work in religion, and not to profess much and possess nothing. For one of these days the very profession will be taken from us, if that be all we have. The threatening is as true as the promise. Blessed be the Lord. It is His way, when He has once made a beginning, to go on bestowing the graces of His Spirit, till he who had but little, and yet truly had that little, is made to have abundance. Oh, for that abundance! Abundance of grace is a thing to be coveted. It would be well to know much, but better to love much. It would be delightful to have abundance of skill to serve God, but better still, to have abundance of faith to trust in the Lord for skill and everything. Lord, since Thou hast given me a sense of sin, deepen my hatred of evil. Since Thou hast caused me to trust Jesus, raise my faith to full assurance. Since Thou hast made me to love Thee, cause me to be carried away with vehement affection for Thee.
My soul rejoices.
As believers in Jesus Christ seek to witness to the unsaved, they are frequently met by a variety of questions. These might include such queries as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or how do we know that the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions on a DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, Dr. Cairns responded to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you wish, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. As he continues this series of studies in the life and earthly ministry of Christ, Dr. Cairns commences a message entitled, The Gospel's Portrait of Christ. He takes his text from the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verses 10 through 16, which are a beautiful poetic picture of the Lord Jesus. In beginning the message, Dr. Cairns first of all deals with the supposed problems of the views of Christ found in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. These three present Christ's ministry from different perspectives, and not necessarily in chronological order. Critics have sought to dismiss the supernatural origin of all Scripture, never mind the Gospels, attempting to ascribe them to anonymous writers who borrowed from one another. However, an accurate and honest perusal of the biblical texts shows them to have been just what Peter stated in his second epistle. The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now Dr. Cairns introduces this message, The Gospel's Portrait of Christ.
Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 10. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold, his locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with the beryl. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedar. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to this familiar passage from his own precious word for his name's sake. For some time now in the Sabbath mornings, we have been thinking upon some of those very important foundational episodes at the beginning of the public ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. His baptism. I can't say amazed, but certainly struck by the fact that I haven't yet met anybody who was in that particular meeting who had ever heard any attention paid to the fact that Christ was baptized with a baptism of repentance for sin, and the significance of that in the whole story and significance of the gospel. So we took time to deal with that baptism of Christ as he began to fulfill all righteousness. Then the descent of the Holy Spirit upon Christ with the voice of the Father from heaven identifying him. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Immediately then the temptation of Christ in the wilderness, tempted 40 days by the devil. And then last Lord's Day, getting a little bit out of chronological order, but for a good purpose, immediately noticing the connection, Satan departed in defeat from Christ. And Christ went forth in the power of the Spirit, and so commenced his ministry. And we looked at the significance of that. I want us, and I don't know how much in detail or for how long, may be in very much detail, and it may be for the rest of my public ministry. It may be in a lot less detail and for a few weeks, just as the Lord leads. But I want us to proceed to look a little further and study a little more about the life and the work of the Lord Jesus. Now that sounds a very simple task on the surface, but as any New Testament student will tell you, it's not an easy task for many reasons. The very first thing that hits you when you come to study the life of Christ is what some people call the synoptic problem. You'll know that there are four Gospels. The synoptics are Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's as if they were looking through a common pair of eyes, but they're not all that common. The synoptics, for example, deal with the ministry of Christ mostly in Galilee. There's some reference to the southern part in Judea, but mostly they concentrate on the powerful Galilean ministries of the Lord Jesus. John, on the other hand, while he pays some attention to Galilee, focuses his attention upon Christ's ministry in Judea. And it's interesting that it is John's gospel, because of the careful notation of the feasts, and especially of the Passover feasts that the Lord Jesus attended in Jerusalem, it is John's gospel that actually enables us to be certain that the ministry of Christ stretched over a period of about 3.5 years. Without John's gospel, we could never come to that conclusion. We wouldn't have the evidence. And I say that just because this is one way the Holy Ghost can show how foolish modern scholarship really is. We are told by modern scholars that John's gospel is not really an historical account at all. It is just mostly a theological, idealistic treatise. Of course, that's blasphemy. John's gospel was so historical that on the basis of its chronology, we can lay out the, as it were, the limitations historically of the ministry of the Lord Jesus. But when we look at the four gospels, three of them very obviously closely related, and then John's gospel standing apart as a different kind of treatment, as we look at them, we find that it is not altogether easy to put the events of the life of Christ in their proper order. For the most part, it is straightforward. But there are cases where it seems that the same event is related by different evangelists in different time frames, so that the chronology is not easy to get. I think one of the answers to it is that what we take to be the same event is many times not the same event. We jump to the conclusion, and I think it's a great mistake, that if two miracles, for example, appear to be the same miracle, the same kind of disease, the same kind of response from Christ, and even the same kind of words from the afflicted person, that therefore it must always be the same event. But that's crazy. When you stop to think of it, John tells us that these are just samples of the many miracles that Jesus did. The sermons we have are just samples of the many sermons that Jesus preached. For example, let me give you a very simple one. You will find the Sermon on the Mount. And you look at it in Matthew, and then you look at it in Luke's Gospel. I say look at it, but actually they're two different sermons. And not recognizing that, some scholars have been willing to berate the apostles who wrote as not getting the details right. Some have attacked verbal inspiration. Did he say this or did he say this? The truth is he said both. And a blind man can see that we're dealing with two different sermons. One is the Sermon on the Mount. Luke specifically tells us that he preached this other sermon on the plain. Now, I don't think it takes you to be a rocket scientist to know that a mountain is not a plain. Is it to be wondered that you had similar miracles and similar sermons? Spurgeon thought that no sermon was at its best until he had preached it about 40 times. If he had used one set of words in the Metropolitan Tabernacle and had gone across London and preached the same text but used somewhat different sermons, and then someone came to write his life story, would they not be making a grave mistake to say it had to be the same place and just because it was the same text? No, no. The life of Christ has some parallel events and sermons, but still, there are things that are difficult to place. One of the reasons I think is, or another of the reasons is, that we tend in nowadays, we tend to write history and think of history in purely chronological orders. Can you remember when you went to school, some of you older people, I take it you all did go to school, and how they taught history 50 years ago? The first thing, man, how we hated this. It was always an abominable thing. And I think how crazy history teachers were. How they turned off a whole lot of people from history. I love reading history. But I must say in school, it was the most boring subject under the sun. And one reason for that boredom was this. First thing they gave you when you entered in to study a particular country or period in that country was they give you a list of dates and battles or dates and acts of parliament or dates and this. But they were so fascinated on dates that you got this chronological list and you had the strange, or they seemed of the strange notion, if you had this list of dates in your mind, you knew history. Of course, you knew nothing about history. But in ancient times, and certainly in the Gospels, they were not so fixated upon chronological order. And very often in the Gospels, the order is more logical than chronological. It is more according to theme than according merely to time. Now, for the most part, it is chronological, but there are times when the theme dictates what comes next. Let me give you an example, because we do the same thing. Many of you will have heard and have met here at the church our good friend Bill Woods, the medical doctor missionary down in Brazil. Now, Bill Woods is a most interesting character. Bill has more strange things happen to him in any given month than most people would have in a lifetime. For example, say I was talking about some of Bill's travel adventures, and I could give you a long list of those. Some of them very funny. In fact, I think all of them very funny. Nothing happens to Bill that's not very funny. Even when he's in intricate surgery, it seems still to be funny. But I could tell you the time he was in an airport, and he had 25 cents, he needed a shave, and there was a machine there that could let him do it, so he stuck it in, and he got the money in, and he got shaving, but the money ran out when he had one half of his face shaved. And so he had to go around the rest of the time with his hand over this side trying to look normal, because he'd have a heavy growth here and clean shaven here. That's why the money ran out. But talking about that kind of strange thing, I might have added, then he was greeted by the police on his arrival in Colombia. Some of them wanted to deal with him as a criminal. Next time they treated him as a very important priest, called him Father Woods, and then escorted him with great ceremony over the border into Brazil. But when I say this happened then in Colombia, I'm not saying that immediately after this happened, then this happened in Colombia. No, I'm simply thematically keeping them together. And I think you find some of that in the gospel. So there is a difficulty when you come to the synoptics, how to deal with the life of Christ. Actually, there's another very real difficulty, and I have struggled with this, and it is that in any study of the life, it's easy to miss the real person. I love to read a great biography. I love great biographies. And if there's a skill that I would like to have in writing, it would be the ability to write a great biography. The difference between a great biography and a book of bare facts is that any fool can research a subject and tell you what a person's name is, what his grandfather's name was, what his great-grandfather's name was, what they worked at, where they lived, can tell you all the details and all the dates. But when you've read it all, at the end of the time, you don't know the person any better. And you know, I have that great fear when I come to study and preach upon the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think most preachers would have to confess that we fail miserably in this regard, because we end up telling various facts about the Savior, various things that happened. But at the end of the day, how much do we know of Him? So the success of any messages on the life of Christ will be judged by how much better we know Christ, how much more clearly we perceive Him. As we come to studies like these, therefore our prayer should be the prayer of Moses, Lord, show me Thy glory. John the Apostle could say, as he looked back on his time with the Lord Jesus Christ, we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We beheld Him. And I trust that that will be our prayer. Otherwise, our studies will be a failure. Of course, the third difficulty is the complexity of Christ's person. It is so deep, and our minds are so limited, that any attempt to describe Him is bound to fall far short of His greatness, and any attempt is bound to be unworthy of Him. And then, to make matters even more difficult, no eyewitness to the life of Christ, no person who ever heard an eyewitness of the life of Christ has ever left us any description of what he looked like, what he sounded like, or his personality type. But with all the difficulties, I think we have got to make the attempt. Who's the central person in all history? It's not Abraham, it's not Moses, it's not Elijah, Isaiah, or Jeremiah. It's not Buddha, it's not Muhammad, it's not Napoleon, it's not George Washington, nor Abraham Lincoln, nor Robert E. Lee, nor Ian Paisley. It is Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.